Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to an episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you, it's Tuesday. Wow, what a message. I have compiled. I've been doing a lot of writing lately, but boy, I came across something this morning. Rhonda was actually listening to a reel that someone had shared on her social media, and it had an incredible message in it. And so I want to share, first of all, I want to share that message, but I want to unpack it as well. I do not know who was speaking. Someone shared this. It's a reel. It does not identify the pastoral figure, the spiritual leader that's speaking this, so I cannot give credit there. But what I titled this message today is, "It is Finished." Now, again, this is from a reel that we saw on social media, and I've copied it off, and then I'm going to talk about it. Here's something a lot of Christians don't know about the words that Jesus said on the cross before he died. When Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, and he cried this out in Aramaic, okay? So there's a lot of Aramaic words in there. I don't know exactly how that is, but it translates into English as, "It is finished." Now, what the translation came from is a translation of a Greek word. I'm going to have to work on this a little bit here. Tetelestai. Tetelestai is the Greek word, and out of that one word comes, "It is finished." Now, which was a word that was used in a business context in ancient receipts in the New Testament times to indicate that a literal debt had been paid in full. But check this out. It was also used in a judicial context in court when a particular sentence was fully served. Not like somewhat served or kind of served, but completely, fully, once and for all, had been served. And then the word tetelestai was also used in a military context, meaning that a battle had been won. It was a word of triumph and victory. So check this out. When Jesus hangs on the cross and he cries out, "Tetelestai," it is finished. He was declaring your debt of sin is fully paid. The judgment for your sin has been fully served. And the spiritual war against death, sin, and Satan has been completely won. In Christ, the work of salvation, victory, reconciliation, and a new life is fully yours. Ladies and gentlemen, it is finished. Now, that comes from that reel. It excited me. It struck me. But you know me, I've got to go do some research. So I began doing some digging. What did it mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, "It is finished"? Now, this could be preached multiple different ways. Ron and I were excited. We were talking about it. It got us all pumped up. But on the last sayings of Christ on the cross, none is more important or more poignant than "it is finished." Anyone's last words are important, but the last words of Jesus obviously carry some unique significance. Just before he breathed his last breath, Jesus uttered the phrase, "Tetelestai," it is finished. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill Scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, and they put it on a hyssop branch, and they held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished," tetelestai. Then he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. That's John chapter 19, verse 28-30. Now, it's found only in the Gospel of John. The Greek word translated, "It is finished," is tetelestai, possibly an accounting term that means paid in full. That phrase is actually the translation of one word, tetelestai, in the original language of the Bible. And this rich and carefully chosen word is full of powerful meaning. I want to look into some of the facets of this word's significance. Every Jewish person there would have instantly recognized this word as the equivalent of a Hebrew phrase that was used in the Old Testament sacrificial system. Each year, on the Jewish holiday called the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter into the temple and make a special sacrifice for the sins of the people of Israel. As soon as the priest had killed the animal, he would emerge from the place of sacrifice and declare to the crowd, "Tetelestai, it is finished." He would speak in Hebrew. In this sacrifice, all the sins of Israel were symbolically placed on the lamb that was killed and punished for their place, in their place. Yet the Bible teaches that this sacrificial system was never really complete or finished, because the sacrifice of that lamb was imperfect and it was only temporary. That's why they would do this every year. But when Jesus died on the cross, he became the perfect and final sacrifice for all sin. The book of Hebrews describes how Jesus was the ultimate Lamb of God, and by his sacrifice, the work of forgiveness was finally complete. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, and in verse 26, it says this: "He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." So by saying it is finished, Jesus was signaling to the Jewish world that there was no more need for sacrifices or temples, because that his work brought ultimate fulfillment to what their sacrificial system had foreshadowed. In the New Testament times, when an employee had completed a day's work or finished a project, he would tell his boss, "Tetelestai, it is finished." This was a signal that whatever it was that he was assigned to do was now completed. Similarly, when an artist would complete a piece of art, he would have a moment of unveiling where he would declare, "Tetelestai, it is finished." This too being a signal that his masterpiece was complete. No more touch-ups or adjustments are necessary. The work is fully done. When Jesus came to this world, he told us what his job was: to provide salvation to a lost and broken world. So in his last words, Jesus was communicating that the work he came for was accomplished, was completed. The task of earning the salvation of the world was completed in his work on the cross. No more additions or adjustments were necessary. Salvation was completed. When Jesus uttered those words, he was declaring the debt owed to his Father was wiped away completely and forever. And maybe the most common use of the tetelestai in Jesus' day was in debt collecting. When a person finally paid off a loan, they were issued a receipt that was stamped with the word tetelestai, which meant that their debt was now paid in full. Now, this was a verification that they were no longer responsible for any of that debt, that everything they owed was completely and permanently paid for. The Bible says that our sin created a debt to God, and one that we could never pay back on our own. But when Jesus died, he was paying off our debt of sin once and for all. Again, the book of Hebrews describes the finality of Jesus' payment for our sin in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, and in verse 18. "But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices." Now, this wasn't saying that Jesus wiped away any debt that he owed to the Father. Rather, Jesus eliminated the debt owed by us, mankind, the very debt of sin. Now, some would argue that the translation, "it is finished," is foundationally accurate, where the phrase "paid in full" is not. Yet, while studying this out, I found that many interpretations literally pointed to a tax debt being paid when using this Greek word, tetelestai. I got real excited when I learned this. I was looking at someone who was literally taking, kind of discrediting what had been spoken in that reel that I read to you, kind of discrediting some of the things I just taught you in the teaching that I was using, by saying that that's not fully accurate, that everything pointed to not paid in full in a debt. Not every receipt they could originally find that was in this Greek writing led to the taxes had been paid. And I looked at Rhonda and I got plumb excited, because I said, I actually like this argument. I actually like the argument that's being given to discredit the interpretation, because it makes it even more sense to me in my simple thinking. Jesus paid the taxes on our debt. We don't, I mean, you think about this. We pay for everything that we get today. We pay for all of our stuff, but yet there's still taxes owed, right? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You can pay the amount for something, but there's still a tax burden. I do all of my work all year long, and I still have a tax burden to pay the IRS. Jesus paid the taxes on our debt. I love this. Just prior to his arrest by the Romans, Jesus prayed his last public prayer, asking the Father to glorify him, just as Jesus had glorified the Father on earth. Having finished the work you have given me to do. That's John 17:4. The work Jesus was sent was to seek and save that which is lost in Luke 19:10, to provide atonement for the sins of all who would ever believe in him, Romans 3:23-25, and to reconcile sinful men to a holy God. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19 says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. None other but God in the flesh could accomplish such a task as this. Also completed was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, the symbols and the foreshadowings of the coming Messiah. From Genesis to Malachi, there are over 300 specific prophecies detailing the coming of the Anointed One, all fulfilled by Jesus. From the seed who would crush the serpent's head, Genesis 3:15, to the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, to the prediction of the messenger of the Lord, John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Messiah, all prophecies of Jesus' life, ministry, and death were fulfilled and finished at the cross. Although the redemption of mankind is the most important finished task, many other things were finished at the cross. The sufferings Jesus endured while on this earth, and especially in his last hours, were at last over. God's will for Jesus was accomplished in his perfect obedience to the Father. You see that in John 5:30 and John 6:38. Most importantly, the power of sin and Satan was finished. No longer would mankind have to suffer the flaming arrows of the evil one that we see in Ephesians 6:16. By raising the shield of faith and the one who completed the work of redemption and salvation, we can by faith live as new creations in Christ. Jesus' finished work on the cross was the beginning of new life for all who were once dead in trespasses and sin, but who are now made alive with Christ. Ephesians 2:1-5. It is finished. All of these nuances of tetelestai converge together to communicate a beautiful truth that Jesus completed the work of salvation once and for all. That means it's not up to us to add anything, complete anything, finalize anything. When it comes to our salvation, Jesus did it all. So now, when we have to put our trust in the finished work of Jesus, we can rest in a confidence in our salvation, and we can pursue God with our whole heart. Tetelestai, it is finished. Our sin debt has been paid in full. Jesus paid the tax. We can now enter eternity duty-free. What an incredible story. I'm still pumped up about what I discovered in this, that the paying of the tax, this tetelestai, it is finished. Listen, I don't care how you weigh it up. I don't care how you measure it up. The fact of the matter is simple. Jesus paid the price for our sin. Our debt is paid in full. No matter how you phrase that Aramaic word tetelestai, it is finished. All we have to do is surrender to him. All we have to do is lay our life before the Lord and say, Father, we accept you as who you are, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came and died on a cross for us, who was buried in a grave, who rose again and ascended unto the Father, sent the Holy Spirit to live with us, to abide in us, to lead us and to guide us until you return to catch us up. Oh my gosh, what an incredible story that we've uncovered here today. It is finished. The powerful words of Jesus, some of the very last words he spoke, recorded anyway, were, "It is finished. The work here is complete. I've done my job. I've completed my task. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit because I'm done here. I've paid the price. Now your children can come duty free." I know that some of you will recognize that if you've traveled out of this country into a foreign land and come back, you have to declare whatever it is you're bringing back. Listen, the tax has been paid, no matter how you look at it. Jesus used the word tetelestai. The tax has been paid. It's paid in full. It is finished. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I pray that your relationship with Christ is growing, it's flourishing, and you're getting excited about the days that we are in. I'm excited. I know we still face struggles. We still have challenges. We still have to deal with the things of life that we deal with. But our eternity is secure. When we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Satan can't touch us. All he can do is roam around outside and growl at us. He can't hurt us. He can't touch us. We may have to deal with struggles. We may have to fight some battles. We may have to endure some hardship. But when it's all over and said and done, it is finished. Jesus Christ has already paid the price for us. We can enter into eternity. We can hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into my rest." And there are no obligations. There are no strings attached. There's nothing left for us to do but enter into God's rest. What a beautiful thought that is for me. Amen. God bless you guys. Ron and I love you. We thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for following along on our podcast. Thank you for your financial support, man. Greatly appreciated. This is a difficult time for us. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to be done. And we're needing, we can't do this without you. Simple as that. If you feel led to support us financially, all of our giving links are available on our website, pinned right at the top of our Facebook page. Contact us. We can get you connected. God bless you for your giving. And God bless you for praying with us, partnering with us, walking with us on this journey, seeking out that which is lost so that they may be found. Amen. God bless you, Rhonda, and I love you. We're praying for you. We'll talk to you again real soon.